This is Justice Matters with Tim Buxton, coming to you from Yugambeh country of the Kommonberry people of the Gold Coast, Australia. I'm your host, Tim, where my sole aim is to share conversations I get to have with inspiring people doing remarkable work to create a world where we all belong. This podcast is brought to you by the Just Travel Company. Experience wonder and unearth justice and discover the just way to travel today. Visit just-travel.co. Without further ado, here's our guest for this episode of Justice Matters. Cam, so great to have you on the Justice Matters podcast. It's been a long time coming. We've been chatting back and forth. Introduced by a mutual friend. The funny thing is I think 50% of the people I interview on this podcast have been introduced to me by none other than Bob Goff. Welcome to the Justice Matters podcast.
Thanks, Tim. Super excited to be here and finally meet you over the screen.
Yeah, totally. I have been kind of following your journey ever since Bob introduced us and said you two guys should get together and conspire with each other. I've been following your brand, which is kind of something that's been a massive journey in your life. You have an adventure gear company called Zorali. How long have you been running that gig for?
Yeah, so my wife Elise and I started Zorali in August of 2019, so 3.5 years ago now.
Wow.
And yeah, we love it. Love being able to wake up every day and work on something that, you know, inspires us and we're passionate about and is, I guess, an overflow of who we are.
Yeah, I can't wait to get into the whole journey. 3.5 years must feel like the shortest and longest 3.5 years of your life, the amount that you can jam pack into such a short period of time. And I'm, you know, really keen to unpack what that's been like. The thing I love about the company is it's really a social impact company. It's designed, and you could do a better job, I'm sure, explaining all the intricate ways about that. But I love that you really care for the planet. You're designing it so that it's, you know, people that buy your products not only give back to replenishing the earth with trees. I know that's one way, but, you know, your commitment to just doing things well. I think for someone that's kind of spent more of my life in the not-for-profit / charitable space, seeing the merging of business and doing good in this world come together in companies like yours is such an exciting thing and I think is the way of the future. How did you stumble across kind of starting an adventure care company? I'm sure it has a little bit something to do with your like you said, your passions and things you love doing.
Yeah.
And then kind of merging that with kind of making a difference in the world through it.
Yeah. So I'll give you the short, long story. When I was 18, I wanted to start a surf brand and just started making surfboards in my parents' backyard and would put this logo on it. It was Monster Surfboards, M-O-N-S-T-A. And that kind of went from being a hobby to like a bit of a side hustle when I was at uni, and I made t-shirts and kind of started going into clothing. And over the course of a few years while I was at university, that really started to take off. I actually dropped out of university to pursue it full-time, grew a bit of a team. We actually had a store in Melbourne at one stage. And yeah, that grew from like 2013 to 2017 pretty quickly. That also had like a big impact side to it as well. We did a lot of water filtration work in places like the Philippines and Kenya, and we also supported a children's home in Kenya. And that's kind of where my passion for like creating things that could inspire other people to chase after what they were passionate about kind of kickstarted for me. The tagline of that business was "Live Passionately."
Nice.
And then in kind of the height of it. In 2017, we got a letter in the mail from a Californian company telling us that they really didn't like us using the word monster
on our
surf gear and apparel. Might have been an energy drink company. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm sure they're not into that. Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Really?
Yeah. So that's kind of how it actually started. And then we saw this kind of coincided with myself meeting my wife, Elise, on the coast here. And we kind of saw it as like an opportunity to take everything that I built through the surf brand and the community and all the lessons learned and put it into what we were actually really passionate about, which was just simply getting people outside. I had a big frustration because a lot of people would say to me, oh, I love your brand, but I don't surf. And I would always be going, it's not about surfing. It's about getting outside. Elise was working in the surf industry as well. She was a designer for Rip Curl. So she had a lot of skills that I didn't have. And long story short, we fell in love, but also decided to pursue our own dreams of starting an outdoor brand. And so we went on this, like, it was probably about a year and a half journey from initial idea to start Zorali to figuring out like our vision for it and how we're going to make it work, how we're going to get it off the ground. And then just even getting the courage for Elise to leave her job at Rip Curl to kind of really set the wheels in motion. And so she did that like a few months before we got married. And then we're kind of, you know, on our honeymoon trying to live our best life. And then we're like, we're going to get this thing off the ground. Otherwise, we're going to have no jobs. So it was a crazy time.
Throwing yourselves into the deep end right at the start of your marriage, man.
I don't know if I would recommend it for the timing, but that's what we did. And got it off the ground in August of 2019. And it's been growing pretty quickly ever since.
Yeah. I mean, what I love hearing about that is just like, it may have started in one direction, but your ability to kind of just keep evolving, keep learning, keep kind of refining. Hey, why do we do this? Is it about surfing? No, it's actually more about getting people out there and not just getting like hooked on one thing and like trying to be almost belligerently determined to just do it, but like the greater vision behind it. It was your guide, that North Star kept you pulling you forward. I love that. Love it about it, because like most people just think, wow, you probably just sat down one day, found a good name, bought the URL, and then just started designing your bags and it all just came together, you know. Now it didn't, right? So I'm sure there's been ups and downs. Let's kind of zone into like the Zorali brand, which is like you said, your outdoor brand now. Can you think of like some defining moments in your journey from obviously one of them being, you know, on your honeymoon thinking, how the heck are we going to make this thing like actually start? But give us an insight in some of your defining moments, maybe even how you kind of push through.
Yeah, probably one of the strongest ones was like even before we launched, and just remember sitting on the couch with Elise and we had this vision to create an outdoor brand that would inspire people to get outside and connect with nature, but we didn't really know how it was all going to work, and there was a lot of, it was just like looking out into the fog and we really felt like there was two paths set before us, and there was like a conventional path, like we just, you know, do the safe thing, like we're going into a defining time of our life, we're about to get married, all that, like we could play it safe, or we could follow this unconventional path, and which was filled with like wild unknown, and and we just kind of like, I remember asking Elise if she was sure she wanted to leave like the comfort of her job, and she actually really enjoyed her job. It was kind of like a dream job for her and for this like dream that we had, and
it's one thing to leave something you hate, right? You probably couldn't wait to get out there. It's another thing when that's like something you're passionate about.
And Elise said to me, oh, like, we're not created to be comfy, and I just remember those words like really hitting me and kind of giving me the motivation to be like, yeah, let's go, like, let's do it. And so that was like a big defining one at the start. And then even just I think in that first year, for the first year was really challenging for us. We like launched just before COVID and then kind of had all the unknowns of COVID and
it
was a lot slower. Yeah. It was a lot slower than we kind of had forecasted the first year. And I just remember like at the end of the first year, just feeling exhausted and just being like, I don't know how we're going to get to where we really want to be as a business. And yeah, I remember chatting to a mentor of mine and he was like, let's just make a goal to like double your revenue in this next 12 months. And I was like super exhausted. I was like, I don't even know how that's possible. And then, yeah. And 12 months later, I just like, I completely forgot about that conversation. And then I was like going through kind of some like old stuff in my journal and saw like my goals for that 12 months. And I realized we'd 5X'd
the goal
that we'd set. And I just remember seeing how like, how small-minded I was in that time. And I was like, I don't know, you know, this isn't going to happen kind of thing. And just seeing how, I think that taught me as well that like we set heaps of like preconceived ideas or limits, ceilings on ourselves. Mm. And potentials like for anything that you're doing, whether it's like personal, business, your passion, your hobby, whatever, like this, the ceiling's way higher than what you think and you can achieve way more. Or, it's even inspired me in like relationships and stuff. It's like,
I love that.
Know, more connection or love or peace or whatever. Then, and I've tried to kind of carry that through since then. Like whenever I kind of start to doubt myself or, things like that, I draw back on that time and try to encourage myself that there's a lot more to discover and explore.
I've listened to a keynote that you've spoken I'm sure in a lot of places around, and you kind of alluded to it there. It's like when you sit down and think about like the future, right, you can get overwhelmed with like, well, what do I want? And you said the key to really kind of that question is not to ask about the future, what do you want, but who do you want to become?
Yeah.
Which obviously is all wrapped up in your why of your existence. Like, why am I here and who do I want to become? It resonates right away, but can you kind of explain, you know, like, what do you mean by that? And, you know, I think for people listening, you know, this is obviously a podcast that really draws people's attentions to obviously the many injustices in the world, but also like the goal isn't to just highlight bad things in the world and what's terrible things are happening, but to talk to people like you who have found ways in which they can just create this world where we all belong, where we're all thriving, where you know, like you said, our relationships are well. So to circle back to that, you know, how do we do that by discovering who we want to become?
I love adventure and I like to always kind of relate life to adventure. And I like to think that before you're setting out on an adventure, you always need to know like where you're going. You need to know the destination, what it looks like. And essentially like knowing who you want to become or why you think that you've been placed on this earth, like your purpose.
Yeah.
Those are the things that kind of make up your compass that are going to direct you on your path towards where you want to go. So, yeah, I think it's really important. And I think it changes like with growth and maturity as well. Like I think who I wanted to become 5 years ago is probably way different to who I want to become now. And I think 5 years ago, maybe it was more like I would think of more outward things, like outward success, or I would think in more maybe materialistic ways, and now I'm more thinking of like who I want to become internally, like, and how I impact the people around me and the people that I connect with, and when I walk into a room, like, how do I want people to feel about? Do I want them to feel anxious because I'm there, or do I want them to feel loved? So, yeah, I think it's super important just having like a lot of clarity behind that, and then just being able to kind of like have it as a bit of like an anchor internally of like, all right, like this is who I am. Like, even if I'm not there yet, like just like one of the things that really helped me was, you know, I grew up really shy and I hated public speaking. And when our brand started taking off, I started getting asked to speak and things like that. And I was like my biggest fear. And I would just write words of like who I wanted to become. I want to be confident. I want to be able to do these things. And I would just kind of like read it out to myself over myself. And then
so good.
Yeah, it was like not that long before I was like, oh, I actually like have changed who I am through just like telling myself like I was more than what I thought.
Right, you kind of broke it's like the broken record that stuck on that one. like records are getting in right now, and I got one for my 40th from my family and started getting a few records, and that sound I remember as a little kid, you know, that's what it sounds like. But that broken record thing that just says, no, you're not designed for this. You don't do this. Like, hang on. What's – you've got to break that narrative, and you can't just break it with nothing. You have to break it with – replace that with the reality of who you want to be. I love that.
Yeah.
I love that so much.
Super
key. So shy, like insecure in a way of leading a big company, leading a big brand. How did you kind of become that person that took some pretty big risks? Like, when I think about, and maybe it has to do with even this idea that you kind of shared before of like, if you put a limit on what you want to become, then it might not be big enough for you really to take that risk. Whereas if this is this massive, audacious goal, like maybe you want to, I got a friend that wants to become, you get on the Human Rights Court of Justice, The Hague, you know, like in the Netherlands, like that's their goal as a lawyer. And I'm like, they're going to do it. Like they'll be there for sure. But even if they don't, and they'll probably do something even more significant because The Hague might not even exist, you know, or whatever. Yeah. But it's big enough for them to be like, I'm going to then step out towards that. Whereas if it's kind of not that daring, like what's worth the risk, you know, if it's not that great. Yeah. And so even if we don't get to the actual destination, it's that real big, you know, impact or big desire in our heart that will at least pull us out to take the first step. And then, as you know, the rest is kind of history. Like once you've started that journey, I mean, as they say, the hardest step is in a 1,000-mile journey is the first one out the door. Yeah. So maybe you should share some things of what's helped you kind of take some major risks, dreaming big, you know, and kind of riding out through all the roller coaster of life and business.
I love that. I think a few things like, for Elise and I, we hold life like pretty loosely and lightly. Like I think, like I was just telling you before, we're moving in 2 weeks' time and we literally made this decision.
You're like, moving closer to me. Yay.
I'm moving close to you. We're going to hang out. And I think it's shocked a few people at just how quick we've like made this decision. And we're like, we're going. Sure. And like, we haven't thought about every single thing yet, but we just have this like, I think, we just have like quiet, we don't like to hold things with a tight fist.
Sure.
And I think when you're not holding on to your life, like, it's all up to you. It's like on your shoulders, and if one thing goes wrong, like your whole life's gonna like fall apart.
Yeah.
Like if you can just live with this like light spirit that's just kind of like just happy to just go along with the adventure of life and just see what, you know, what comes of it. I think it's like a lot more conducive of an environment that it has the ability to take risks.
Adventure analogy to it, or your outdoor analogy, it's like packing light, right? It's like
exactly, yeah.
You don't have a heavy backpack you're dragging around just in case, you know.
Yeah.
You need toilet paper, you're going to have three rolls of toilet paper stuff or just in case, you know.
Yeah.
The toilet paper
I do some like speaking in schools, and I often talk about that analogy of packing light. And yeah, I think we all like carry way too much through life that, you know, we could just let go of, and, you know, you wouldn't even be like, oh, well, like I haven't used that thing for years, or like that thing has served me no good for years. That belief that I've like held about myself that's held me back has served me no good. Like, why have I been carrying this thing around? And like, yeah, it's even like us, like decluttering at the moment, getting ready to move. We're just like going through our garage and selling things on Marketplace, or, you know, taking stuff to the op shop. And I'm like, I haven't used any of this stuff in so long.
Right.
So I think that's like just helped us, just kind of move through life with just that like spirit of adventure that's willing to take risks and is kind of up there. Cause we're not, even with our business, like, you know, we love what we do and we're really passionate about it, but we always try to make sure and kind of have a bit of self-awareness on each other that like, we're not holding it with that like super tight clenched fist, that we're like holding it open. Cause it's like what I did previously, you know, that kind of just out of nowhere almost got taken away from me. And, at the time, when we had all this like legal stuff happening, and it actually dragged out for 2 and a bit years. But that my business was like who I was as a person. It was like my entire identity. And it felt like there was a part of me that was just getting like ripped away from me. And it was, I think because I'd kind of grown up through my early 20s, like growing this brand, the surf brand. And I probably, I don't know. I probably
who's Cam like, without Monster. All exactly. Your friends, yeah. You know, like.
Yeah. So I really learned through that to like, I need to detach from what I do. It's not who I am. And I think, but yeah, just holding things like with an open palm really just helps us to be like, okay, like we're not in control of everything. We believe there's like a higher being. And, you know, we both have a faith, and that kind of helps us. I just think, you know, we believe that, like, it's not all up to us. There's someone kind of guiding our steps, and that really helps us take those big risks and not overthink them as well. Like what you were saying, like you said, set a big goal, like even if you don't reach it, like, as cliche as it is, it's not the destination. It's like,
it's about the journey. Yeah.
And the things that you learn on the journey, or the things that you discover, or, you know, you might find a different path that was
totally
kind of, yeah. And, I think we've just seen, all the cool things that can come from when you are willing to just step out and take a big risk, even when you don't know what it's going to look like, or you don't know all the steps that it involves. For us anyways, there's always been, even when it goes wrong, there's always been cool things that it's like, yeah, that kind of sucked in the moment, but this really cool thing came out of it, or I learned this thing, and that's been so valuable for me.
This episode is brought to you by the Just Travel Company, your socially responsible travel concierge. Just Travel is the best kept secret in culturally immersive and justice-oriented adventures. Allow Just Travel to take the hassle out of your next trip and experience wonder and unearth justice. Discover the just way to travel today. Simply head on over to just-travel.co to learn more and book your next adventure. Like our flagship Israel Istanbul trip, launching out in mid-July 2023. And which is just, okay, so the postures you really need to have on hand to actually ride the roller, like it's like, you know, when people are just so tense and they're so like, it doesn't matter, like, or it's almost like getting on a bike, right? And you're on a motorbike, they say, we'll lean into the curve. Like it's going down.
Yeah.
If you fight it, I mean, it's going to be messy for everybody. And I've fallen off a motorbike or two. And it's so, it's that like willingness to kind of, like you said, you know, kind of let go, like just have humility, be curious along the way. Like, okay, what is this teaching? I can't actually change what's happened, but I got to extract something out of this. And there's a lot to learn through this thing that didn't go to plan. And you know, I think, you know, those are some of the I guess beautiful gifts even present in our worst moments. Like I heard someone say, you don't learn much from your successes. You really don't. You learn a lot from things that your mistakes, your failures, your things that don't go to plan.
Yeah.
And I think that kind of requires a fair amount of humility, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Because on any given day, like things aren't going to plan. I think we've learned that more than ever, right? Like, we can't control what's happening. We can't control the weather. We can't control natural disasters, pandemics. We can't always predict and determine what's going to be thrown our way. But there is a lot we can control, and a lot of it has to do with our posture and our response to it. The Stoics, I've been learning a lot from Stoicism recently. And, you know, these Greek gurus way back in the day have some a thing or two to teach us. And one of them, you know, has to do with, you know, like holding on to things that you are like holding on tightly to things. And I think it came back to like learning to detach your identity from it. Yeah. And he would, it sounds pretty gloomy, but one of their practices would imagine something really precious that you possess right now. It could be the place where you live. It could be obviously a relationship, your wife, partner, child, mother, parent, like, and just imagine for a split moment that is just like, that's the last, you don't have that anymore. It's just taken away from you. Don't obviously dwell too deeply into that moment and get yourself too emotionally used to that idea, but long enough to be like, okay, now bring yourself back to reality. That is something you have right in front of you right now.
Yeah, wow.
And it's this joy of like suddenly wanting.
Yeah.
What you already have.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? And
crazy.
It's a crazy practice, I think, because, you know, you and I know, are quite ambitious people, I think. We've got big goals and dreams to have big impact. But I think along the journey, it's also having a real tangible joy in experiencing what it is. You talk a lot about enjoying the present, I know, in your talk as a real powerful way to really help people to kind of live their life with meaning and purpose. Can you talk a little bit about that? And another thing I really would love to kind of dig into is why should, you know, on this adventure of life that we're on, that we're intricately and intimately engaged with, should it be also fun and not like, especially in justice work? For me, it's like a lot of people think you just have to be, it's just this deep, dark work that, you know, saving the planet means, you know, constantly chaining yourself to things and being in difficult situations. Like, where's the place for like this adventure, this one life we live, and making an impact can actually be a hell of a lot of fun and something that brings us great joy and fulfillment.
Well, for us, like, on that second point first.
Sorry, I have really long-winded questions.
Doing justice but still having fun along the way. I think that really resonates with me because when we started Zerali, one of the things that we saw as like a problem in our industry was any outdoor store. I don't know if you've ever had this experience, but you walk in and it's like really overwhelming, and if you're not like into every single bit of gear, you almost feel like an outsider, and it's a little bit intimidating.
I bought a tent at Camp Mandu the other day, and dude, I think the guy made me want to walk out with every little solar lamp, and I was like, dude, this is going in my backyard for my four kids over the holidays, and that's all I need is a tent. Anyway, keep going.
So we would like often walk into a lot of these outdoor stores and just felt like we just felt like if you didn't grow up with it, which I actually didn't really grow up camping. My family was much more into the resort parks, Disneyland, that kind of thing. And I think that's probably how I got so into camping and the outdoors, just because I think when I got my license, it was just something that I discovered, and I kind of had it really grown up heaps with it, and I was hooked on it. But so we really wanted to make Zerali a really welcoming, approachable brand. We didn't, a lot of outdoor brands is like a lot of jargon. If you're not from the space, you don't really know what they're talking about. So all of our language and our website's very welcoming, and we like to see Zerali as a guide for people that are like taking their first steps into the outdoors.
I love that. So cool.
But in the, like, so we're really big on sustainability. Everything that we do through a lens of sustainability and making sure that all our materials are either recycled or organic, and we're fully carbon neutral. And then we also plant trees on the top of that to make us carbon positive. But we've found that in the sustainability space especially, there's this sense of like doing justice for the planet is this really, really serious, heavy thing. If we don't do it, we're going to die.
The existential threat that faces us every moment.
And it's like we've kind of struggled with that because we're just like, it's serious and it's good to like do good things and do the right thing. But, there should be some joy found in that, and you should be able to talk about it with a sense of joy and not like it's this super heavy, serious thing that I think sometimes can almost put people off because they feel like they're almost being condemned into doing better. And
isn't that the worst thing, to feel guilted to do more? It's like the kind of photos of African kids with pot bellies.
I know,
and
yeah.
If you don't sponsor this child with flies in their eyes, you know,
you're
a horrible human being. How could you even think about getting Pizza Hut that night? But then, you know, for me again, like that's been a value for me is like, these are the realities in our world. I mean, we could talk about Yemen right now and what's going on there, and it breaks your heart. But if I want people to engage with that, which is so far, far removed from their everyday life, I think making them feel guilty isn't the pathway. I think inspiring them to be like, imagine the impact you can have and what lights you up, what kind of gets you going, and how can you turn that into something that actually, you know, has an impact in that area, that I think will engage so many more people. Obviously, you've done it through your business and you're like calling people into this adventurous life, which isn't just buying your product, which I have your bag. I've taken it on several trips already throughout the Middle East and places. and your great products, of course, making quality products and great things that are that look good and are appealing. But yeah, that idea was like, if that's not your thing, that's cool. But you know, what is it that lights you up, and how can you use that to inspire, you know, positive change in the world?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, love I never that. Did anything good in my life when I was motivated by guilt or fear. Like, really, I look back and think, okay, when I was afraid and I did that out of fear, or I did that out of feeling guilty.
Yeah.
Usually didn't end too well. I'm not really that proud, but the things I've done that have been motivated by either compassion or courage or these real positive emotions, you know, that I think us humans, human connection, like you've talked about, you know, like how do I align myself around having more meaningful connections with people? Like,
yeah,
there are the moments I'm like, look back and like, yes, I'm so glad I did that.
Yeah. Yeah, when I look at You Belong, I can't imagine it was started out of any of those negative emotions. It's very joy and love filled. So that's where we want to be.
Man, I'm excited that you're going to be moving up this way. It's going to be so much fun. I know, I can't
wait to hang out.
I know. Yeah. I think we've had a few attempts at trying to go foiling. Go foiling, come on. Yeah, you have to teach me a thing or two. I'm sure you're like well and truly ahead of me. But yeah, I'm just afraid. Like, I've already had like a gash that was worthy of stitches. And I'm just afraid either I'm going to kill somebody else or kill myself before I get the chance of doing that.
Yeah.
But yeah, man.
For those listening, it is the thing that you see in the ocean that lifts out of the ocean and glides along the surface.
It's like a hoverboard with an underwing. Like a
hoverboard.
Yeah, it's so cool.
Yeah.
Of course. Okay, one last question. Justice, we've talked a bit about doing good things in the world. Where have you, like, I think it's important to recognize the times where we, with all our good intentions, we've just got it wrong. And can, you know, just to make us, all the listeners, feel like, we're all human. We all get things wrong. Can you think of a time when, like, you know, in all your good intentions, you just got it wrong? And then how did you kind of navigate your way through that and course correct?
All right. I'm going to give you two real quick. Awesome. First one was when, with the surf brand, we were supporting a children's home and we thought we were doing a good thing by funding like a fish farm. And it inherently was a good thing. It sounds really cool.
Yeah.
But we just didn't get enough research into how it would all work. So I came back like a year later. I was like, what happened to the fish? And, so for about the first 6 months, it was like working amazing. They were like getting income from the fish. They were getting food.
Yeah.
And then there was like not enough space in this fish farm. It kind of got overcrowded. There was catfish in this fish farm. They became cannibalistic. And
oh no.
They just kind
turned
of,
on each other.
Yeah. And there was no more fish. So that was kind of sad.
God, no way.
That was a bit more of a funny example. So then, we were able to kind of take
do
those
a little more
and,
research before you launch into that audacious project. Might be helpful.
We're able to get something that worked a little bit better for their environment and where they're at. But the second one, which is probably more of a personal one, when we had this big Californian energy drink company coming after us. I just instantly felt like I was in this like David versus Goliath battle, and I had to like go and slay this like this mega company.
Slay the monster.
yeah, exactly. And I think a lot of it was like fueled by like a bit of anger and I wasted so much time and energy on like all these strategies that I could use to like get the people behind me and like take down this company and like And, you know, they would kind of get presented to our lawyers and they're just like, they don't care about you. And they've like got way more resources than what you
right.
have. And then, but then I would go away. I would go back to the drawing board and like in my like, in that, you know, that like what we were talking about before, that like those negative state of like
the righteous emotions. Indignation.
Yeah, yeah. Just like trying to scheme on like how I was going to get past this thing. And I actually learned like just, yeah, we're just when you can find like humility and you're like, okay, this thing's really hard. And
yeah,
maybe justice for me is not taking it up to this company, and it's just kind of accepting what is,
yeah.
and not just seeing it as this like horrible situation, but actually turning your perspective and saying, hey, what good could come from this? And I actually got like chronic fatigue through that time, and I think a large percentage of my fatigue was just mental stress and just living in that state of like, of just being a bit jaded from something bad happening. And as the moment when I kind of turned my mind to like what good could come out of this and started to see it as more of like an opportunity rather than
this, what have I got to learn, big
negative thing, I actually started getting really excited. I was like, oh, actually, like maybe this is an opportunity to kind of take everything I learned and start over and like realign who we are, like that kind of, and fix that frustration that I felt that like there's a lot of people that like the brand but couldn't connect with it because it was surfing and all of that. And so just learning that sometimes the thing that you might feel is the just thing to do. If it's been like a personal attack on you, sometimes you feel like you want to get even or whatever.
Yeah.
Is actually just having like a bit of humility and just being able to like accept it and not trying to react in like in anger or rage or whatever. And just,
what's the point in giving all your passion and all your energy to that thing? Like the resistance model makes it I do ice baths in the morning, and you're probably familiar doing ice baths, but the minute you resist the cold and you resist it, it almost amplifies it. It's like adding fuel to the fire. And so, yes, like we should be holy troublemakers in one sense. But I think like you said, that energy and passion that was draining you look what it channeled into something so much greater, so much better. Exactly. And you know what it's like to be the guy that's been kind of picked on for no reason. And so I think the lesson and just learning what it feels like, it's going to make you so much more relatable to people out there in a real struggle, you know, even just for their rights and their freedoms. Yeah. And so much to learn. I've learned a stack from you. Just real grateful that you would carve some time out this morning to chat with me. Yeah.
Loved it.
Yeah, so good. All the best to you guys as you get ready to move. Holler if you need a hand.
we'll see you up your way soon.
Yeah, for sure, man. We'll be foiling Burley before you know it, man. Alrighty, matey. Have yourself a super rest of your day, man. We'll talk to you later.
Beautiful. Thanks, Tim.
Thanks for making it to the end of another episode of Justice Matters with Tim Buxton. It is an immense privilege to share these conversations and inspiring people with you. To learn more about how you can get involved or learn more about today's guest, head on over to the show notes or episode description. This podcast was produced by the master himself, Jose Villotto, with just a little bit of help from me. The featured music is the song Turning Over Tables by The Brilliance. Lastly, to my Patreon community out there, thank you so much for your support and generosity. Without you, this podcast would not be possible. If you'd like to become a Patreon and get exclusive access to behind-the-scenes content, visit patreon.com/justicematters. and start your Give What You Can monthly contribution today, and join me and so many others in creating a world where everyone belongs. Until next time, thank you for subscribing and sharing this podcast with your friends. Justice Matters with Tim Buxton acknowledges and pays respect to the past, present, and future traditional custodians and elders of this nation, now known as Australia, and the continuation of cultural, spiritual, and educational practices of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples.